Down the Dump Podcast.
I'd like to welcome Carson Cunningham from KOCO back to the Down to Dump Podcast. How are you doing today, Carson?
Doing well, man. Still recovering from the weekend. I was in Austin, Texas, covering OSU, Texas. So it's a long drive. It was a fun weekend, but I've had my morning coffee, so I'm ready to roll.
Awesome. Carson, I want to ask you, do you subscribe to the KOCO app?
I do not. I probably should since I'm a company man, but I don't have that app on my phone, no.
I was going to ask you because this app, I'm subscribed to it, but it ruins my day every day because it informs me of all these bad things that are happening in Oklahoma all day.
If it bleeds, it leads, man.
So, like, I'll look down at my phone and it'll say, like, three escapees from the local prison or something.
So we basically scare you every day with our app.
Yeah, it ruins it. Sometimes I'm just having a great day, and then I look down at my phone, and KOCO just ruins my day.
I will talk to the powers that be and see if we can get some positive news in there. Yeah. Maybe a little thunder news in there every now and then.
Yeah, maybe just every once in a while, let me know that all prisoners safe and accounted for.
Yeah, I'll just have them start sending out texts. You are safe. everything's fine.
You are still having a good day.
You will have a better day today. So I'll have a fortune cookie app.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so we have some true or false questions for you today. A few from some listeners and then some that we put together.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all.
First question is, the Thunder need another three-point shooter to get past the Spurs. And this is from A. Vinca 10.
I say false because they still have the big three, Russell, Kevin, and Serge. And I think that's, come playoff time, I think that's enough to beat the Spurs. And also, I just don't see them making a move. I think if they're going to need someone to hit three-point shots. Now, is that going to be Derek Fisher again? Is that going to be Jeremy Lamb? I think they hope it's going to be Jeremy Lamb. He's shown some signs this year, at least, that he can hit some threes for them. So I don't think they need to add another one to get past the Spurs, but I mean, I think they already have him on the roster, and that'd be Jeremy Lamb or even Fisher. Fisher's been a Spurs killer in the past, so I don't think they need another three-point shooter to get past the Spurs now just because they have so much talent.
Yeah, I agree. And I just don't – even if they did acquire somebody, a lot of people like to talk about Jimmer Fredette. I don't think he'd play. I honestly don't. I think that, you know, Brooks trusts Fisher to be that guy to come in, and whether we want him to be or not, he is that guy.
Yeah, and he proved last year against the Rockets that he can be that guy. You kind of just with him, you just let him do his thing in the regular season. That doesn't really matter. But come playoff time, I mean, who do you trust more? Do you trust Jimmer Fredette or Derek Fisher? We know who Scott Brooks is going to trust more out of those two. So, yeah.
Next question. This is from Brian Matthews. Andre Roberson will take Tabo's roster spot next season.
I say true because Tabo's contract is up, and he hasn't looked very good this year. And you have to wonder how much money he's going to want as a free agent. You have to wonder how much does he have left in the tank. You really wonder how much the Thunder would want to invest in him long term, considering his age and the way he's played so far this year, and just the fact that they usually like to go the cheap route, and the cheaper route would definitely be Andre Roberson, and he has the same type of skills that Tabo has, so I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Tabo maybe dealt at the trade deadline. I think that would be something that Presti would like to do to get it off the books, so you get something for Tabo instead of him just walking for nothing at the end of the season. So I think there's a very strong possibility. I would say definitely I think Roberson takes his spot next year.
I like Roberson a lot. I think he's an outstanding defender. He kind of can do a lot of things that Tabo does now. It's just, you know, lots of people have talked about this. His offensive game is pretty poor at this point in time, but we've seen guys like Serge Ibaka and Tabo, who was a poor offensive player himself when he came to the Thunder, really turn it around. So hopefully they can develop him.
Yeah.
They have other players.
I would say Roberson is as bad as Tabo was. Like when Tabo first got here offensively, it was as worst, maybe the worst offensive player I'd seen, him or Perk maybe. But he was so electric on defense that he got to play, and we've seen how much he's improved on the offensive end. He, until this season, he was one of their most reliable three-point shooters. So Roberson's really young. I love his rebounding. Like he has tools that you don't find very often. A guy that can defend like he does, and a guy that can rebound like he does, especially with his size. He can rebound like nobody's business. So he has a lot of potential. And when he was first picked, everyone was like, who is that? But you see immediately just that those two skills, his rebounding and defense, can be elite. And that, I think that's enough to get him on the floor.
Definitely. Third question. This is from D_Tally. The Warriors game is one of your favorite Oklahoma City regular season games.
Oh, true. It's definitely one of them. I mean, I was tired that night. I wanted to go to bed, but there's no way I'm not watching the end of war.
Yeah.
It's taking place right there. Those two teams are just tailor-made for each other. And once you can kind of tell, like, once one team gets on a roll, like, the other team just has to match it just offensively. And the Thunder, we say this all the time, they're just one of the most entertaining teams when they're rolling like that. And maybe the only other team that isn't as entertaining as them is Golden State. So when you get them together and you got Curry and Klay Thompson just bombing in threes, you got Durant and Westbrook and Serge all doing their thing, that was the NBA at its finest, no doubt. So that immediately goes on my list as favorite regular season games for sure.
Yeah, that game was amazing. One game that sticks out to me is from the lockout season. I think it was in February they played the Nuggets, and it was the game that KD had 51 and Russell had 40, and Serge Ibaka had his triple-double with rebounds, points, and blocks. And it was an overtime game, lots of ballsy shots. It was just a super fun game. And that Nuggets team was a lot of fun, too, because they ran up and down a lot. So that's one game that sticks out to me. That's probably one of my favorite regular season games.
You were going to ask me. That's the one I was going to pick for all-time regular season game. I mean, KD had 51, like you said. Westbrook had 40, and Serge had a triple-double, and they won in overtime. So, I mean, that's just an incredible game just in itself. But
yeah.
And apparently, also, I had to look up the game storage because I remember the final numbers, but not really how the game played out. Durant hit a three-pointer and drove for a dunk to tie the game with 4 seconds left in regulation. I mean, that's just – for a February basketball game, that or that Warriors game, I mean, you can't beat it. Just this team's so much fun, and games like that are a big reason why, for sure.
Definitely. And I guess Andre Miller had it going in that game. I'm looking up the stats right now. He had 21-10 in that game.
I mean, it's kind of sad that the Nuggets kind of just have turned into what they are, because last year, for most of the season, they were the best team in the West.
They were awesome last year.
Certain spells, they were the best team in the West, but you can just tell without Iguodala and the coaching change,
mm-hmm.
everything they've gone into, they're just not the same. So I think the Warriors are the Thunder's new must-see matchup as opposed to Denver.
Definitely. Next question. If Russ stays healthy, Serge Ibaka will be an all-star this year.
I say true. I mean, you have to love what he's done since Russell came back. I mean, everyone was freaking out those first couple games without Russell. Serge wasn't putting up numbers, and of course Harden was doing his thing in Houston. And that same narrative of the Thunder chose Ibaka over Harden, they're idiots, came up. And settle down, people. I mean, we've seen Harden's, I don't even know if you can call it defense. I would call it like Matador, Ole style of play from Harden. And Serge is putting up, I mean, all-star numbers. I mean, double-doubles, 20 rebounds last time out. I mean, that's what he's really improved is his rebounding, especially on the offensive end. Like, I mean, I don't think the Thunder chose him necessarily over Harden. They just were able to come to a deal quicker, and Harden was never going to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why they made it a priority to get Ibaka, because he can do those type of things, and that's what you have to have. You have to have someone down low that can rebound and score the basketball. He's playing at an all-star level right now. The big key with him is, can he do it night in, night out like Durant and Westbrook do? That's the big question. And so far, so good since Russell's come back.
Yeah, he's been absolutely amazing. And we had talked about this before the season about him shooting more threes, but he has started to just control the paint, which I honestly didn't see it coming. And he's been incredibly effective down low, which has been, I mean, that's a huge thing for this team.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big question mark, is can Serge Ibaka, I mean, this is the first year of his new contract where he's making, I think, $12 million. That was the big question, is can he be the third guy, the third all-star caliber player? And so far he's proving it. And as long as he doesn't cock his fist and clench it and start throwing haymakers, he might put up 20 and 10 every single night.
Yeah, that was frustrating to see. Just that entire, you know, that entire incident was just ridiculous with the Clippers. And that's what the Clippers do. They try to, you know, make you mad and then make you do stupid stuff when it worked in their favor that night. But you'd have to think that the Thunder would have beat the Clippers with the way that they were playing with Serge Ibaka. But
no, they were dominating in the first half. And I think that's the only way they lost that game is losing. Certainly, granted, there's a lot of basketball left, but they were doing whatever they wanted offensively against the Clippers. That's the big question with LA is they don't play any defense. Like it's fine and dandy to score at an elite rate in the regular season, but come playoff time when things slow down, you got to get stops. And I think the Clippers need to make a deal to get a defensive guard because they're all offense. Jamal Crawford, J.J. Redick, CP3, none of those guys can play stellar defense. So yeah.
Jamal Crawford, I don't know. And I heard this story just the other day. And when he first got in Portland a couple of years ago or 3 years ago, he came to Nate McMillan and said, "I'm not going to play defense." He said, "I'm just flat out not going to play defense. I hope that's okay with you."
Well, guys like him and Harden, they're better off just staying on the offensive end than cherry picking. Like, don't even come back on defense. Yeah. You're just kind of getting in the way and clogging things down for your other defenders. So yeah. Those guys should just cherry pick. That's all they're interested in doing anyway.
For sure. Fifth question, true or false, the Christmas Day jerseys are horrible.
Not only false, but like all caps, exclamation point, italic, underline, false. Like, it could not be more false. Like, they look to me like, I don't know if you remember, especially the Clippers. The Clippers look like a carbon copy of the women's basketball uniform.
So you mean true, though, that they are horrible?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I misread the question. They are horrible. Yes. Capital T-R-U-E, underline, italic, true. I thought I had my morning coffee. Maybe I didn't have enough. I'm going true. They look like the women's Louisiana Tech. Remember those uniforms the women's team used to wear? They look so like rec league. I don't understand what they're going for. Like, why are they trying to make sleeves happen? Is this an Adidas thing? Is this an NBA thing? But the more I think about it, the more I kind of understand the sleeve movement. It's because when you buy a basketball jersey, it seems like a great idea at the time. Then you realize it's a tank top, and you're like, "Well, I got to wear a T-shirt underneath. I can't just be showing off the guns." So I think it's just more practical to wear a jersey that has sleeves on it. So they're just trying to make money. But
yeah,
the players just look weird in it, especially when they have the sleeves and then the long shorts.
And they're so tight.
Yeah, that's the thing. The shorts are like baggy and loose, and the jersey's like skin tight. It just looks weird.
Yeah, I might be on board with it if it was a little bit looser. But overall, I see it as it's just a way to make money and maybe to get dads to stop tucking in jerseys into their jeans. I don't know.
Yeah, they're just trying to stop the gun show at hand. Yeah, they are true. They are horrible. I mean, didn't mean to answer incorrectly there at first.
Yeah, they are absolutely awful. Question six. Perkins has proven that he still has value after the two losses to the Clippers and the Warriors.
I'm going to go false. How did he prove he had any value?
I think how he showed he has value is that we don't have to play Hasheem Thabeet when he plays.
That's a good point. I mean, when you posed that question, I was thinking, well, at least he'd play over Thabeet. I mean, I love Hasheem, but Perkins is a better player than Thabeet. So he proved that he's a big body that you can throw in there and play. I think he came back against Milwaukee, and he was the only player on the entire team that played that had a minus plus minus. He was minus five. Everyone else was a positive. So that's kind of what you deal with Perk. I mean, he serves a purpose against certain teams, others he doesn't. But I think it's good to have him back, though. It was sad what happened with his grandfather and all that. And it was good to see that he took care of that personally and made that a priority. But Steven Adams is coming, and he may still start over Steven Adams, but I think Adams needs to play more minutes for sure.
Definitely. And this kind of goes on to our next question. It's better for Adams to stay with the second unit, true or false?
I mean, people get hung up on who's starting, you know, this guy needs to be in the starting lineup. Harden should have started over Thabo. I just care about who plays the most minutes and who plays in the most important minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Adams, it's fine to keep Adams on the second unit. You know, he got to start against the Clippers, and I think it kind of affected him a little bit. He came out, he looked nervous. He had a rough, really rough first 5 minutes against L.A. They attacked him, and he looked kind of lost. But then he kind of settled down as the game went on. I thought he played okay. I didn't think he was bad from there on. I think he kind of settled down. But that first start, you can tell he had some first start jitters, so maybe it would be a good thing just to keep bringing him off the bench, because for the most part of this season, he's looked awesome. I'm just on both ends. I couldn't be more impressed with Steven Adams, and I couldn't have been more wrong about him.
I know. Everybody was wrong about him. I mean, we had that season preview podcast, and I had, you know, a lot of people on that have pretty powerful Thunder voices out there, and everybody was like, he's a D-leaguer.
Well, and I mean, he's playing now more than he did at Pitt. He's playing more in the NBA than he did at Pittsburgh.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, I don't see how you could have seen this coming.
There's no way you could have. You're right.
I don't think the Thunder saw this coming when they drafted him. I think mm-hmm. they drafted him just on his size and the way he, you know, he's able to move at that size and his potential. I don't think they ever dreamed that he would be their best center right now, and I think he is.
He is, absolutely. I love Steven Adams. He's been amazing. His ability to grab offensive rebounds is so huge, and I can see that him, you know, helping this team in the playoffs with, you know, gaining extra possessions like that, which are just massive, you know, in those tight games.
Yeah, he's got a real knack for that. You can tell he's always in the mix around the rim, tipping them in or tipping them out, and those are stats that kind of go unnoticed. I mean, keeping extra possessions for the Thunder, so I'm shocked he's this good, but man, it really helps the Thunder moving forward, looking to like next year and beyond, because you were wondering what was going to happen with Perkins and all that. So having Adams just gives them way more options for next season as what they're going to do with Perkins.
No doubt. Question eight. This is from Taylor, who's on the podcast. He said nobody likes Larry Sanders anymore. True or false?
True. I mean, I don't like him anymore. I mean, this one kind of hits home for me. He apparently neglected two German Shepherd puppies outside in like 17 degree weather. I'm an owner of a German Shepherd, so that anyone that does that just is they're dead to me. I mean, that's just unacceptable. And I mean, I guess he hurt his hand in a bar fight or whatever too. I mean, his thumb injury, I guess. So I don't like him anymore, just for the fact that he neglected two dogs and German Shepherds at that. That hits home for me. So I will not be writing his name in all caps like Zach Lowe likes to do.
Yeah, no kidding. And he was bad even before the thumb injury. And he wasn't playing significant minutes, and they just paid him. You know, they gave him the JaVale McGee contract, I guess, which is like $11 million a year. You can see that they're probably already regretting that.
Poor Milwaukee. Like, I feel bad for Milwaukee maybe more than any franchise in sports, maybe just the NBA. Like, when have they ever been good? And then stuff like this happens to them all the time. They haven't been good since Kareem was there. And they just can't get a break. And those fans just keep showing up. Like, I would just probably quit following the team.
Yeah.
That many years of just ineptness. I mean.
And it's tough because I guess their owner wants them to win. And they continue to sign guys like O.J. Mayo and Zaza Pachulia and all these guys that are going to push them to, like, the ninth best team or the eighth best team in the East.
Yeah, they're just stuck in that area you don't want to be. Like, you do not want to be the eighth or ninth best team, because then you're not getting any good draft picks and you're nowhere near going to win the title.
Yeah, I'd be so frustrated with that.
Yeah, I would much rather play for lottery balls, especially this year with the draft. It's going to be loaded. So, I mean, I feel bad for Milwaukee, but I don't feel bad for Larry Sanders, that's for sure.
Yeah, because they could have built. They had, you know, Brandon Knight and John Henson and this Greek kid.
The Greek freak. Don't try to say his name.
I was just about to, and you stopped me, and I'm glad you did. All right, next question. Reggie Jackson is the best backup point guard in the NBA.
Oh, I should have looked at this more heavily. Who is this competition? You're going to have to help me out with this one.
I think Jarrett Jack. who's still a backup point guard, is one of the best in the league. Mo Williams for Portland is a great backup. Even a guy like C.J. Watson in Indiana has shown that he can be super effective. Jeremy Lin is a backup point guard.
Yeah, I would have to – it'd be tough for me to say true just because there's so much competition in that I still need to see this from Reggie for a little longer of a period. I still don't like the fact he can't really shoot the outside shot, which he's improving. He's improving. But there's times when you watch Reggie that he just kind of takes over. And if he can do that for the rest of the year or at least till the All-Star break where I can get a better feel for him – but I think there's potential he could take over games in the reserve role just so where the offense just moves through him, kind of like Harden did, where they'd run some pick-and-roll game with him mm-hmm. to where he can be the focal point while KD and Russ are on the bench. If he can do that, then I think there's no question he'll be the best. But guys like Jarrett Jack are definitely way more proven at this point.
Yeah, he definitely needs to do it over a long stretch. I agree with you. But he, without a doubt, has the physical abilities to get there. He's an athletic freak, and he in his game is becoming more controlled, it feels like, as he learns and plays more, but he still has a little ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, I love what I see out of him. I mean, he's really developed in this last season and a half, so to speak. And I mean, what else can you say about Sam Presti? What was he, the 23rd?
Yeah, I need to look that up and see what pick he was, but he was a late first-round pick, and to grab that guy, I mean, a lot of people like to criticize Presti, but they don't ever mention Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, you can't – it's hard to find guys that will stay in the league at the 23rd pick, let alone be as productive.
24th pick in the draft.
24th. I mean, those are just lottery tickets. You're just hoping to get a guy that can even, stay in the league at that pick, and they're getting a guy that might be the best backup point guard in the league. So, I mean – I will never, ever, ever doubt Sam Presti ever again after the Adams pick. And people need to remember he also picked Reggie Jackson with the 24th pick at a spot that is really hard to find guys that can play.
And he was super under the radar, too. Like, he was a guy who was hurt at Boston College, and, nobody really knew what to do with this guy. And Presti stepped up and made that pick with confidence.
And he didn't, work at – he didn't work out for other teams.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird leading up to, get this. Serge Ibaka was the 24th overall pick, too.
There's something about that spot.
Man, and so was B.J. Mullins. So it's
never stops there.
I mean, Sam's had the 24th pick quite a bit, so you can tell the Thunder have been pretty good. Yeah. Some other ones are Rudy Fernandez, Kyle Lowry, Luther Head, Delonte West, and Brian Cook. So it's hit or miss.
It is. But that, I mean, that pick was absolutely huge.
Yeah, no doubt.
Last question. The Thunder should trade for Omer Asik.
Oh, I go back and forth on this one because he's like what you would want out of Perk. This is what he's kind of the player that Perk used to be in Boston. And so I wonder, can you afford him? I say false. Just I don't think they will, and I think you're better off just standing with what you got. I mean, it would be great to have him, but I think you kind of throw off the balance. I mean, in a perfect world, yes, you would trade Perk and him for him. But who are you gonna give up to get him? I think you might have to give up more than I would be willing to give up to get Asik. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna say false.
Yeah, I think false too. I think they're gonna ask for Reggie Jackson or Jeremy Lamb or, you know, this 2014 draft pick. I mean, they're going to want something that I don't know that it's worth it, especially when you have Adams that's developing and how many minutes. I mean, that's just taking away minutes from Adams. And I would rather see him develop throughout this season than give up assets to see Omer Asik play. Because I think that Adams has better hands than Asik does.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'd rather see, Steven Adams develop.
Well, in most trades, if you're going to get anyone of value, I think the player that any team's going to want is going to be Reggie Jackson. Now, are you willing to give up Reggie for either an Asik or, there was that random Evan Turner rumor that I didn't think was even a rumor. It was just
right.
I mean, are you willing to give up Reggie for one of those guys? And I don't think the Thunder would be willing to get rid of Reggie. Now, they're going to have to start paying him here in a year or so. So that's a concern, but
my hope with Jackson is that they do something similar to what the Spurs did with George Hill, is they traded him for a lottery pick, and they got Kawhi Leonard, and were able to continue to pay a really good player on a rookie deal. I'd like to see them do something like that.
That would be interesting, especially if you can get it for this draft.
Yeah, if the Thunder could deal, you know, for the 12th to 14th pick, you know, and grab a guy they know is going to play, and then let somebody else pay Reggie.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting. I mean, I think Thunder fans would freak if they traded Reggie right now because he's so popular. Mm-hmm. But the Thunder are always going to think long term, and long term you have to wonder how they're going to sign Reggie, because he's certainly outplayed his rookie deal, and you're going to have to pay him money. So, yeah. Well, it never ends. I mean, you got to pay the guys once they perform. So Presti is great at drafting guys, but then he has to deal with the repercussions of being so good because he drafts so well. So you got to pay him.
Without a doubt. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, Carson, and we'll continue to watch you on KOCO, and I just really hope that you can put in a good word for the people who do the app to try to make my day a little bit better.
I'm going to throw my weight around, man. I'm going to get some positive into your app feed. I'm going to be on that this week.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Carson.
All right, man. See ya. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.